to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask Dr. Blackmore, if he will, to make his way up here to the platform for just a moment and lead us in prayer. If you're a new student this year and you've not yet met Dr. Blackmore, this is a man that you need to meet. He's about the first person I really met on campus when I got here, I guess, and I have not had a more gracious friend and prayer partner than this dear, precious gentleman who has been here for many, many years and has labored, labor of love, especially with the ADIV program. And I have just come to love him and to treasure him, to treasure his counsel. He's one of my counselors, and I thank the Lord for him. He's going to voice our prayer to God in just a moment. Dr. Blackmore, there are a couple of matters that I want us to really be thinking about today. My sins were pointed out to me by one of our students who came and said during the inauguration, while that was going on, there was also the memorial service being held for one of our students, Philip Capps, who, as many of you will remember him, and I know that he was greatly beloved. He did most of the photography for us here on campus, and Philip passed away this last week with cancer. And at the inauguration, we mentioned everything perhaps in the world, but failed to mention that and to pray for his family. And that was a tragic oversight, and I've asked the forgiveness of this student and for all of you. We did send flowers to the funeral there, and there were representatives that went from the school, but we should have been praying especially for the family. And so today, Dr. Blackmore, if you will, as you lead us, let's remember the family of Philip Capps, and I apologize for my oversight in the matter. And then, as you know, we began our campus revival next week. Now, let me tell you what I've asked Jerry Vines to do. Dr. Vines from First Church Jacksonville, Florida, will be here, and I have told him that we are egregiously terrible sinners, and what we don't work out in actual flesh, we usually conceive of and just don't have the opportunity to do it, and that I want him to come in and to search our hearts, to be God's prophet for that week and examine the recesses, every hidden part of our lives and hearts. Folks, we need revival. We can't expect there will be revival in the local churches of the land unless there is a spiritual awakening in us first. And we're going to turn inward next week and contemplate even, examine our own hearts while Dr. Vines is here. And then in the night, the churches will be coming in to help us in the area, and we want you to be here for that too. And pray that God will do a gracious work and that we'll see people saved, especially in those night services. And then, of course, on Saturday at 9 a.m., we'll be meeting over at the Ledford Center to go out into the community and share Christ in our community. So, Doctor, if you will, pray also, Dr. Blackmore, that God will bless in this revival effort and that people will be saved. This is Dr. James Blackmore, precious brother.
May we pray together. Oh, great God, we are unworthy to come into thy presence. Thy majesty will consume us, but purify us. Let thy holiness purify us and make us bold to come in the name of Jesus, calling thee Father. Oh, heavenly Father, thank you and praise you for the world that you have made and the blessings and graces you have given to us. Thank you for thy holy Son, Jesus, and for the redemption and enlightenment and strength he brings to us. Let his Holy Spirit abide with us and guide us in all of life. Hear now the special request, we pray. We thank thee for Philip Capps. We wish we could have kept him, but the clay of his humanity gave way, O Father, in illness. And we praise thee that thou hast received him unto thyself. Sustain and bless his family. We thank thee for our new president. Pray thy blessings and anointing upon him. Make him stronger than he knows and wiser than he can possibly be, that thy kingdom will come in this place and thy will be done. Bless the plans for revival, but we know our efforts are in vain unless thou art with us. So undergird the preacher and all who share in this undertaking. Hear now the silent prayers of our hearts, for thou knowest our needs are many. We are discouraged at times and burdens are heavy, but give us strength to rise up like with wings of eagles into thy ministry and service. Bless thy servant now as he comes to bring a message and open our hearts to receive it. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
As I told you yesterday, we have with us today one of the most colorful figures that I have ever had the privilege of knowing. I've come to love this man who's going to bring our message today. I know him as a man of unusual conviction and the ability to stand and yet stand so very gently. One time I was interviewed by a newspaper reporter that said, "What can you tell me about Bob Crowley?" And I said, "I would describe him to you as a gentle bulldog. When he gets hold of you, he just holds on, but he never breaks the skin." And so I think of him that way, and I appreciate him so very, very much. Bob Crowley is pastor of Montrose Baptist Church in Rockville, Maryland, just outside of our nation's capital, and he has been there for a long time and built a marvelous church. One of the things that is unusual about him is that he doesn't mind attempting the unbelievable almost for the Lord. Recently, they sponsored in the church there a conference on creation, and they were expecting about 2,000, and by using every nook and cranny of the building, they can take care of 2,000. Expecting 2,000, they got ready for the conference, and 10,000 showed up. It's a pretty amazing thing when you get right down to it, and I thank the Lord for what he is doing right there in our nation's capital. He has served on the Board of Trustees here for some time and served two terms as chairman of the Board of Trustees. His sweet wife is here, and would you just stand for a moment so they can see you? She is a wonderful musician, plays the organ there in the church, and has been an inspiration to me also. I can't tell you how open these people have been to me and how kind they've been to me across the years, and I've just come to appreciate them. He is a great personal soul winner, a man devotionally inclined toward God who seeks the heart and the face of God regularly. Now, Bob Crowley, I'm so glad to have you here today and glad that I can call you my friend. I always try to make friends out of anybody as big as you are. And so I thank the Lord that you're my friend and that you're going to come and bring our message today. Bill Pukowski is going to come and bring our special music. And immediately following that, please listen with open heart and mind to Bob Crowley.
The centuries, the martyrs of the cross, all those who chose to follow Christ, to suffer any loss, although their journey led them through the shadowlands of death, the song of their commitment they rehearsed with every breath. I will serve the Lord. I will serve the Lord my God. And if God should choose, and my life I lose, though my fall may slay me, I will serve the Lord. Uncertain days now echo back the strong and urgent strain. Take up the cross and count the cost and join in the refrain. For should our journey lead us through the shadowlands of death, may this be our heart's resolve as long as we have breath. Thank you.
Chapel at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Frankly, I can hardly believe that I'm standing here. I have become a little infamous in certain circles for a question that I asked in one of the faculty interviews, prospective faculty. I asked about the axe head floating in Elisha's time. But I want to tell you something this morning. If you can believe that I am preaching in chapel this morning, you won't have any problem at all with the axe head floating. I have a message to bring to you this morning. I got up early one morning, began to read the Bible, a passage that I had read many times, but somehow that morning a meaning came to me. Perhaps it's out of the context of what's happening in our world. And that has become very trite to say, but somehow in my 62 years, 1992 and the 1990s have been especially upsetting and unsettling. Deuteronomy chapter 28, if you will turn with me to that portion, I want to read some verses in just a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning with verse 1. Moses had come to the end of his life and his ministry. He is giving his last instructions. Among these instructions, there are warnings. They are blessings. All of these things grew out of his walk with God Almighty. He had had an intimate fellowship with God, I think, as few people who have ever been privileged to live on this earth. He walked and talked with God. He got started rather late. And that beginning was not auspicious because he ended up in an argument with God Almighty. And God got angry with him. So this man had many experiences. He had the experiences of being a murderer. He grew up in Pharaoh's home as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And then he spent 40 years in contemplation, out on the backside of the desert, being a shepherd. He had many times to think and to contemplate what could have been if he had not been so impetuous and had sinned against God. He has received, in addition to all of these experiences, a direct revelation from God. Not once, but many times. God walked with him and talked with him. Now, our text this morning that I'm going to read in just a moment, to me, is one of the boldest pronouncements in the entire Bible. It is as good an example of direct revelation that I've ever read. And before I read it, I want to ask this question. If it doesn't mean precisely and simply what it says, then my question is, what does it mean? If it's not true, if we cannot take this absolutely literally, then I believe that the whole fabric of the Bible collapses. Of course, these words were spoken initially to Israel upon the eve of their going into the promised land. But the application, and I'm not going to take time to justify the applications that I'm going to make, I think they're quite simple and certainly authorized. Let us read from God's Word, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all His commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. Now, what are the blessings? Verse 3. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed. The crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. Now let's skip down to verse 15. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not certainly follow all his commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. You will be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed, and the crops of your land, and the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. You will be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out. Strong language. Now drop down to verse 45, which is kind of the summary. All these curses will come upon you. They will pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed because you did not obey the Lord your God and observe the commands and the decrees that he gave you. I want you to know this morning that God's word tells us that the blessings of God are a vital fact of the life that we know. And by the same token, the curses that God puts upon us and upon our land and upon all that is around us is a reality. And we have forgotten that. We talk about blessings, but we forget the other side, or else we never have learned it. Now, some people attribute the blessings of God to the natural forces. If you think positive thoughts, then you'll stay healthy. If you try to develop your own talents that you have, and if you try to take advantage of all the opportunities that come to you, if you live a virtuous life and have good habits, then you're naturally going to have prosperity. In other words, it's just a very natural thing. You live a good life and everything's going to be fine. Natural causes. Well, I believe that there's truth in that. Then there are some people who have this little phrase that just irritates me till I can't tell you. Good luck. I even hear Christians saying to people, well, good luck. I don't see how any Christian can ever let those words come out of his mouth. We don't live by luck. We don't live according to chance and just what happens or what may come down. This is a promise that God gives us. If you will obey me and keep my commandments, then I'm going to bless you. And if you don't obey me and if you forget my laws, then I'm going to curse you. The cursing is not just an absence of blessings. The cursing is an absolute well-thought-out program that comes about. Now, we also say something else very glibly. We end our letters this way. I mean, Christians do. In fact, I even hear politicians and sometimes even movie stars. I guess they don't know how to finish their speech or don't know what else to say, and they say, God bless you. Now, what in the world does God bless you mean? Do I have the power to call down God's blessing upon you? I can certainly pray for you, and I suppose it means that. But only God can bless you. One of my members handed me a book a couple of weeks ago, and it was a book that just was overwhelmed with this idea of curses. And I think that the guy that wrote this book must have believed in the devil more than he believed in God. He certainly talked about him a lot more. And he was more preoccupied with the curses than he was the blessings. But certainly the blessings of God come when God looks upon us and sees that we have done what he told us to do, and then he blesses us. I'm saying to you that there is a special providence. God himself who pours treasures of goodness on the favored nations, the favored individuals, the favored institutions, whatever they may be. I believe this is a spiritual principle. We find it in the New Testament very simply. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Jesus had a great deal to say about the Beatitudes. Blessed, happy, fulfilled, completed, ecstatic. This is what Jesus came in the world to give us, life and life abundantly. And this will come when we surrender to his holy will. When we say, Lord, take my life, fill me with your spirit, use me, then God's blessings are going to come. This is a spiritual principle. It is a spiritual law. If you take gunpowder and put fire to it, you're going to have an explosion. If you take seed and put it in fitting soil, it's going to result in fruit. And so also, when you follow God's laws, those laws and the accomplishment of them are blessings. And breaking God's laws are going to bring a curse on the individual, on the nation, on institutions. Now let's look at these verses a little closely. Verse 1. It is upon the condition that they diligently hearken unto the voice of God. Now, there's a couple of things involved here. First of all, you've got to know what God teaches. Now, that's something that we've forgotten in this world. I honestly believe that the vast majority of America is no longer aware of what the Bible teaches. We base our actions upon, well, I feel this, or I think this, or I like this. People are writing their own Bible. In my first church, 41 years ago, I met up with an old farmer that was really rough. But he had more common sense and more good theology than most people I've ever met. When I came there, he didn't even come to church. He'd gotten disgusted with it all. And he said to me one day, "Preacher," he said, "these people in this church have written their own Bible." And that was the introduction that I had to that which I've observed all through my life. In order to obey God's word, you have got to teach it. I'm convinced that our major task in our ministry is to teach the word of God. People don't know it. We talk about its inerrancy, but I'm not even sure we know what it says. We have got to study it carefully in order for our people to know the word of God. We have got to faithfully preach it and tell them what God's word says. After we've taught it, then we've got to make a commitment to do it, to observe and to do all that he has said. In verse 9, it says, "The Lord will establish you as his holy people as he promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord and walk in his ways." I don't know anywhere in the Bible that that's been changed. I think that's still valid. It's still a principle of God's word. There is a commandment, do not go after other gods. Oh, how we are seeking the gods of the world. Mammon, the god of pleasure, the god of sex, the god of this world, which leads us after different things. Oh, yes, we may go and tip our hats to God once a week. We may go through all the motions, but what is really our God? Who is our God? And one of the teachings here, the conditions of the blessings, is that we not just tip our hat to God, but that we worship him, that we make him the Lord God of our lives and the Lord God of anything we have to do. Now let's look at a couple of the particulars of this blessing. It is promised that the providence of God should prosper them in all of their outward concerns. I think there's a lot of people that get nervous about this. There's a heresy in all great teachings and principles. People distort it and give out heresies, and that's the health, wealth gospel, or the health, wealth heresy. You know, put a picture of something on your refrigerator and claim it, name it, and claim it. What a bunch of foolishness. That's not what I'm saying here. There are particulars, and we must not forget these particulars. These blessings are said to overtake them. You know, many times good people sort of sense their unworthiness and really want to deny that God is really going to bless their lives and that God is going to reward them when they get to heaven. Jesus taught very clearly in Matthew chapter 25 about the rewards of those who had been faithful and who had reached out in compassion to those who were sick and hungry and didn't have clothes and were in jail and hospitals. And he said, and his disciples said, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you?" Jesus said, "When you did it to these, the least of my brethren," part of his commandments that we would take care of the poor, he said, "you did it unto me." So these blessings are going to run us down. They're going to seek us. Now, there's several things very quickly, and I could spend a long time, and my time is so limited. But let me just mention a couple of things. Verse 3. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. Whether they work in the fields, whether they're farmers, whether they work in the business world, in the cities, they're going to be blessed. If They live by God's word and by God's teachings. It says that you're going to be blessed in the sixth verse when you come in and blessed when you go out. Wherever you go, you're going to be blessed of God. Oh, we're so dependent upon God at every turn if we only recognized it. It says, the fruit of your womb will be blessed. I think one of the greatest griefs that can come to a parent is to see his or her children going into drugs or going into what is commonplace today, becoming sexually active as simply a teenager, an early teenager. Is that something that happened by chance? Is that something that happened because of bad luck? Absolutely not. When the parents will obey God and hold high His principles, then God says, I am going to bless the fruit of your womb. There's no question about it. I have mothers that call me up and say, oh, my son is going with this unsaved daughter, and I haven't even seen them in church for a couple of years. What are they so excited about? Or they're going to marry somebody of a different faith. They haven't held up the commandments and the teachings of God's word. Why should they even care? The blessing is that they should be rich, that they would have an abundance of all the good things of this life, rain in due season. All the things that we have, every good and perfect gift that we have, comes down from God the Father. And He blesses us with an active blessing because we have honored Him. It says in verse 12 that they should have honor among their neighbors. The Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. You will lend to many nations, but you will borrow from none. Is it any wonder that the United States used to be a lender nation and now it's a debtor nation? The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. America's fast becoming the tail of the world. Always at the top, never at the bottom. They should be victorious over their enemies and prosper in all their wars, verse 7. This passage teaches, if I can even read or understand anything about the Bible, this passage teaches us that faith in God and piety are best friends and will bring prosperity to our lives. But on the other hand, there is a curse. And I would not be preaching the whole counsel of God, as Roger Ellsworth prompted us yesterday, if I did not tell you about the curses. Like the blessing, there is the curse. All of these curses, and they are mentioned here, they are read out. All of these curses will come upon you. They will pursue you, overtake you, until you are destroyed. At the root of America's social crisis, whether it is AIDS or ethnic hatred or crime or social decomposition, all of this is because of the social crisis, the spiritual crisis that is in America today. All of these things are going to come until you are destroyed. America. My, how I love America. How it's been so good to me. I grew up so poor in southeast Washington that I could bring tears to your eyes if I told you how poor I was. And yet, God has blessed me. I resisted the call to the ministry because I didn't want to be poor. I saw my father, and we lived in poverty in the Depression. I wanted no parts of it. America has been so good, the land of opportunity. And I want to say this morning that I would love to sing like Kate Smith sang it. God bless America. But is God blessing America? As I close this morning, I want to submit to you that God is not blessing America. And the thing that descends upon my soul is that I believe I see the curse of God coming upon this fair land. Our land is being destroyed. There are those who are predicting financial collapse, and certainly everybody knows with our trillions of dollars of debt, and with another major crisis, the failing of the banks coming upon us, we are sinking. We are in the process of being destroyed if we could only see it. Every morning I turn on my television set, as everybody does in major cities, and you see every morning, not just once in a while, every morning you see a lifeless body with a quilt covering it. Sometimes two or three. Just within the last month, a young lady on Capitol Hill was walking home very naively. She should never have been doing it. A man grabbed her and savagely beat her and raped her and left her for dead, and they rushed her to the hospital, and she lived for 2 or 3 days and died. The jungle, that's the community I grew up in, right where that young lady was killed and murdered. Carjackings, right next door to our church. We're out in the suburbs. Right next door to our church, there was a carjacking. And the most famous of all the carjackings in the Washington area, in the Maryland suburbs in the last month, was that PhD chemist, that woman, whose car was taken from her, and they got her caught in the door and dragged her to death, and then took her child and threw it out the window. I think one of the most savage acts that I've ever read about or heard about. And on I could go. To say nothing of 26 million abortions. Can God bless America if we murder 26 or 27 million people in a short space of time? My state, Maryland, is going to be the abortion capital of the world unless we can defeat in referendum at the polls in November. A law that is so liberal it's shocking. The law says you can abort a baby the day before the 9 months are up for any reason. Can God bless us if we do this? And disease. It says in verse 27, the Lord will afflict you with the boils of Egypt and with tumors, festering sores, and the itch from which you cannot be cured. The Lord will afflict you with madness, blindness, and confusion of the mind. Hey, listen, if we have any sense at all, we know that the minds of people among us are confused. They cannot sort out between what is right and what is wrong. Our land is being destroyed. Our churches are being destroyed. I went to a meeting 2 weeks ago, and one of my lifelong friends came up to me with tears in his eyes, and he says, Bob, I've got a resume I want to give you because my church told me yesterday that I have 2 weeks. I've got to get out. I've got to clean out. I have no place to go. I don't know what I'm going to do. Our churches are in confusion. The church's influence is horribly lessened. The lying that goes on all around us, even among ministers, is shocking. Scandals. You all know that another one of the big major pastors of America out on the West Coast had to resign his church in disgrace. And on it goes. We have problems here at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. I love this school. I really do. From the day I came on this campus and was overwhelmed by its beauty, and I well remember the cordial reception that I received from the faculty and the administration, the first trustees meeting that I attended. I will never forget that. It's a precious memory. We had good fellowship together, and I immediately began to admire and to love the professionalism and the scholarship and all that went on around here in the name of educating people. And we now are in dire straits. Our accreditation is being threatened. We have great financial needs. And the student body is down. I want to tell you this morning as God's prophet that there is a way out. There is a way out of our dilemma. There is a way out of America that is being destroyed. There is a way out of our churches that are going in decline. There is a way out of our institutions. Let me read it one more time. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. I close with an example of what many individuals are experiencing. And I say this particularly to those of you who are involved with the church. I know the facts that I'm about to tell you are things that I personally know about. A man had a Master Life class in a Southern Baptist church. It was a good class, fine, layman. After the class, he went home and told his wife that he was suffering from insomnia and that he was going to go over to the church study, and he was going to study for a good while during the night. Instead of going to his office, about 12 o'clock at night, he arrived at the home of one of the members. Her husband had just been transferred to a far-off city and was already there, and she was supposed to take her belongings and the family and follow the next day. At 2 o'clock in the morning, the rescue squad was called, and they found this man, a staff member of the church, dead, without his clothes on. It became the laughing stock of the city because the rescue squad knew exactly what had happened. The doctors knew exactly what had happened that examined him. What a disgrace. Now, some of you may censure me for what I'm going to say. I believe, and will always believe, unless God tells me otherwise, that God killed that man. You can't sham God. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. God is only going to put up with so much of your foolishness. And if you defy him, can you imagine a man walking out of Master Life and walking into the home of a woman when her husband was not there and spent the night with her? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. But praise God, I'm glad to announce the good news, that if you will commit yourself to God and obey him, you're going to succeed in the ministry. It's not going to be because of good luck, because you had good luck getting a good placement. It's not going to be because you add a whole bunch of degrees behind your name until they go off the page. It's not going to be because you're good looking or you have a lot of talents. God will bless you if you honor his word and honor his commandments and do his will. That's God's promise. Praise God.
Someone said years ago, many difficult things in the Bible, things I wrestle with and do not understand, but the things that trouble me most are not the things I don't understand, but the things I do understand. And that's appropriate, and I think, response to the message today. Father, we thank you today for a man of God who stands with a message that might be conceived as unpopular in many places. But Lord, we receive it here, because we know that we're constantly under the assault of the powers of evil in this world to compromise the glorious gospel of Christ, especially by how we live and how we act. And Father, we do believe today that if we honor you and obey you, that you respond with blessing, but that if we dishonor you and disobey you, that we are indeed bringing curse upon ourselves. And Father, we pray today that for this campus and these precious people, sheep that gather here, that you would help us to seek thy face and favor in the way we live and act. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you go, two things. Be a good citizen. Student council elections today until 4:30 p.m. and also tomorrow in the student center. Be a good citizen. Go by and vote. And then remember, we'll see you Saturday morning at 9 a.m. at Ledford Center to go share the gospel in the community. God bless you. You're dismissed.